Hey, everyone. This is Rob Motti. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Faith on a Field Show. If you want to hear any of our previous episodes, please check out our website, faithonafieldshow.com. You can also subscribe on every major podcast channel like Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, and TuneIn. Please like, share, and leave a review so others can find out about the show. We appreciate your support, and here is this week's episode presented by Cairn University.
This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy Motti and Pastor Kyle Horner. We have two guests this week, guys. First is going to be Akbar Baja Biamila. He's a former NFL player.
Current co-host.
That was pretty impressive, bro.
I'm really trying, man. Current co-host on American Ninja Warrior.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yes. And we've had previous guests from American Ninja Warrior, Maggie Thorne, who was on here. So it's definitely, man, that's taken off. What American Ninja Warrior has
incredible.
Right? It's incredible.
Yeah.
There's such a huge fan base.
They're doing a youth edition
there.
Now as well.
Really?
Yeah, a youth edition.
Oh,
so
wow.
Really trying to challenge young people to be active, and it's pretty incredible.
It's fun. I always want to challenge myself to try some of those.
You could do it, bro.
But man, maybe.
No, he tried.
You could do it.
Please. Don't encourage
hey,
that.
I tried 20 pounds ago. Maybe I could do it better now.
He
when I was
tried
hanging,
that.
Trying to hold
it
myself
was
up,
so
that
bad.
Was not. That was not.
It is pretty impressive.
Yeah, you guys can do it. Anybody can do it. And it's really fun. Also, we're going to have our good friend, Pastor Scott Foreman, will join us later
Come
in
on.
The show. Akbar grew up in a Christian and Muslim household,
yep.
And he converted to Christianity in college. And since then, he's been on quite a journey, and he told me he continues to grow in his faith and learn more. And this part is so important, and you'll hear it for yourself when we have him on later on. But he says he continues to push himself to grow in his faith. And that term, push yourself, push myself to grow in whatever it is, whether it's growing spiritually, it's so essential for us to mature as Christians. But for example, like if I want to grow physically, if I want to grow my muscles, I got to push myself in the gym. I got to lift heavier weight. I got to work out a certain way.
I
got
to
eat. Yeah.
Yes, I see you pushing yourself.
You got to.
I see the results, dude. You're looking great, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. But you got to push yourself. Whatever it is, you got to push yourself spiritually growth. In your relationship, you got to push yourself.
Absolutely.
In marriage, you got to push yourself. Whatever it is, you have to push yourself. There's some various Bible verses, of course, that talk about everything that we always bring up. But Hebrews 6:1-3 says, therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ. I hear elementary, I automatically go back to the nuns in the grade school. I just hear elementary school. Anytime in my life, no matter what elementary it is, I go back to Sister Rita, Sister Dennis, Sister Loretta, Sister whoever it was. I go back to that. But Hebrews 6:1-3, it says, therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. For us to grow spiritually, because that's what we're talking about here, all the physical stuff, you can go to. There are different people who will help you grow physically.
Absolutely.
They'll help you learn how to eat properly. They'll help you how to learn to put on muscle in the gym and all that stuff. But here, what we do on Faith on the Field Show, we hope to help each other and help all of our listeners grow spiritually. And I feel for us to grow spiritually, what it's saying here is we have to advance beyond the ABCs of Christianity.
Yeah.
Right? There's
absolutely.
ABCs. There's basic principles. We have the foundation. We know that we are saved by grace. We cannot earn our way into heaven through works. We know the meaning of baptism. We understand the resurrection and eternal life. These are the Christian basics, right? These are the ABCs.
Yep.
But
correct.
To grow, to mature, we have to build on these principles, and we have to challenge ourselves to have what it really is essentially a deeper understanding and allow that Holy Spirit to work in us, through us, lead us, use us, teach, and then eventually to be able to teach others those basics.
Absolutely.
Those ABCs.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that we have to do or that helps us to grow are outside challenges, Rob. So you were just talking about lifting weights. Well, the reason that your internal muscles grow is because there's an external force pushing against it that you then have to return force against.
Yes.
And I think these are the, our faith grows in challenges. You know, when we look at the disciples, Jesus constantly put them in situations where they were in the middle of a stormy sea. Well, why? Was he angry with them? No, the storm didn't show that he was angry with them. The storm showed that he was giving them an opportunity to utilize their faith, to grow in these moments. You know, the feeding of the 5,000, he turns and says, go. You feed them. Yeah. And they're like, what are you crazy?
Figure it out.
What are you crazy? We couldn't do this if we tried. Yep, but there's a way. It's applying faith. And so there, just like there's physical pressure against us that helps us build our physical muscles, there's spiritual pressure. There's circumstantial pressure that helps us to apply faith daily. And I love what you said. We are not saved by works, but we are saved to do works. Mm. And I think that's sometimes what we struggle with on both sides. Sometimes we're doing works so that we please God, so that we can someday get saved or get into heaven. And that's, we're missing the mark. But on the other side, when we just say, well, you know, God's happy with me. I'm good the way that I am. I'm saved by grace. It's all good. I don't really have to do anything. No. Paul tells us we have to work out our salvation. There's this outworking of this thing.
Active
so,
faith.
Absolutely. I look at someone like Samson, who had all the physical strength in the world, supernatural physical strength, but he never built his character. And it was not his lack of physical ability that undermined his life. It was his immaturity spiritually. It was his misunderstanding of wisdom and how to apply it into his daily life. And as a pastor for over 30 years, I look at this and say, I think this is where many Christians trip up. It's not that they don't have a desire to love God or be stronger. It's that we haven't developed a daily routine of truly developing our spiritual gifts, our spirit, our faith, and our wisdom by studying the word, by prayer, by being in these circumstances, iron sharpening iron. We talk about that all the time, right? Yeah. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, you know, the church is there, the fivefold ministry is there to actually equip the church, the people in the church, so that they can grow into maturity. So there's all sorts of things that we have to do in order to handle this this challenge of growth in our lives.
You know, I feel like I do this way too much, and I think I get on my own nerves with it, because I'm one of those people that if I don't have like my next book planned after my one is done, which I just finished yesterday, I'm like, I was like depressed yesterday. I'm like,
what book am I now?
I'm like, what do I do now? Because I always have my books planned on Amazon. Yep. Like my cart, he knows my cart on Amazon likes all books.
Oh, I see.
Love it.
And I'm like, which one should I go with now? Yes. Like I finished this one. What's the next one that will help me grow? Yep. Because I feel like if I am not learning something, or if I'm not like exposing myself to something different and new that challenges my thinking, I'm legit like not okay.
Yes.
It's just the weirdest thing. And I don't know like if other people feel the same way, but it's just me. I personally love to challenge myself to grow, to challenge myself to just understand something new, to just know more about Christ, to know more about what this life is all about. Because if you don't grow and you don't learn, sometimes I feel like, what is the point?
So you're talking about a purpose growth plan. That's what we've talked about before. Vision. We need to have vision and a plan.
We need to have vision. Yeah. And we need to have something to kind of just work toward. And it's not about like I'm saved by that work. I'm saved by the grace of God, but he wants me to move forward and to grow and to know more about him and to always just do something to get to that next level in your walk.
Agreed.
And it's kind of like working
him
out. Yeah,
it's ultimately him. Yeah. Rob, it's so beautiful. You talk about this verse all the time, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. You know, I'm saved by grace through faith apart from work, lest I should boast.
It has such an impact on my life.
Yeah, it has.
You know, such an immense impact on my life, because it took me into my early 30s before I actually can apply that to my life.
Yeah, figure that out.
Yeah.
And I love it. And we always talk about how people stop short in certain verses, right? You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's great, except for when you look at it in context.
Yeah.
I think that's one of those verses where we stop short a lot, because it says, I'm saved by grace through faith, all those things, apart from any work, so that I can do the good works that God has planned for me to do. And that's not haphazard. It's not, you know, it's not I haphazardly, when I get into a situation, then I have to call out on God.
Yeah.
No, we're called to walk in faith, walk by the Spirit of God. You know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, he said, I got to beat my body so that after I preach to others, I don't disqualify myself. Mm. It's not talking about, you know, whipping himself or beating himself with chains. It's saying, no, I'm not going to let my flesh drive my life. Yes. I'm going to say, yep, I know that there's forces inside of me, right? There's a good wolf and a bad wolf inside of us. Which one are we going to feed? That's the one that's going to win.
It's so true.
Right? And those are the things, buddy, that I think, when it comes to eating now, a lot of people are much more proactive about how thoughtful about how they eat.
Right.
There's so much information out there.
Right? Of course.
There's so much information available to us.
So much.
But when, as you're saying, to be proactive in that.
But are we
proactive in our faith?
Proactive in faith. Yeah. Exactly right.
Yeah.
And not see challenges as not see challenges always as something that is a detriment to you. At times, challenges is the opportunity to get stronger, to move bigger into your life. So I think at times we see the enemy as this foe that's there that can overwhelm us, and yet Jesus has empowered us. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Paul says in Ephesians 1, we'll talk about it in a little bit, about how I pray that the eyes of your heart may be opened. Why? So that we can understand and believe the incredible great power we have in Jesus Christ. We have authority. So how these challenges are the times that we actually push against those weights.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, Remy talked about how she grows, or how she challenges herself to grow, and that is through reading various books, Christian.
And the Bible, of course.
Right. But I feel like that works for you. I'm not a reader.
Yeah.
I'm a writer, and therefore, because I'm a writer, I don't take too much time out to read.
Yeah.
And I find that I grow and I challenge myself to grow in action and in reaction. So my growth doesn't come from, I'm reading the word, I'm reading the Bible. I'm not really reading other authors.
Yeah.
Very infrequently do I read other books. Right. But I find that my growth comes from how I respond to situations, how I react in situations, how I'm learning to sometimes write that email and not send it. Write that text
Erase.
That text and not send it.
Don't push send.
Yeah, how to think about, you know, I'm always challenging myself, always constantly trying to challenge myself. How can I respond or act in this situation where I am not being a hypocritical Christian? And for me, that's where my maturity has come, because when I was I like to call it, like, you're a baby Christian.
100%.
And there's nothing wrong. I mean, we all start out as babies in life.
Yes, correct.
We grow. In everything, we grow. We grow as people. We grow from infant stages, toddler.
Yeah.
Eventually, you're a teenager. Yeah. You're an adult and all that. We grow. And I feel our stages of Christianity, our faith, grow the same way.
Agreed.
And I feel like if I continue to be the same person in my faith spiritually who I was last year, then that's not a good thing. And if I don't continue to grow in my faith, then I'm stagnant.
Agreed.
And if I stay stagnant, where am I going to get that growth? So if I'm doing the same...
Well, you've missed an opportunity to grow.
Exactly.
If I stay stagnant, I've actually gotten weaker because I've missed opportunities for growth.
Right.
If you're going to the gym doing the same workout over and over and over again, and you haven't lost a pound, if your goal is to lose weight, then your workout has reached stagnant potential.
You're at that,
and you need to rework something, whether it's more cardio, better nutrition, something else. Mm-hmm. If in your faith you continue to see yourself, and this is how I just measure my own growth. If I continue to see myself putting myself in certain situations that are difficult for me, or if I continue to make the same mistakes over and over again, then I go, I'm not growing.
Yes.
And what can I do to grow? And by no means will I ever say I'm perfect or not, I'll ever be there, because I'm not. But those are different ways that we can each challenge ourselves. You have a way where you read books, look to grow spiritually that way, to build your knowledge. And I'll tell you, your knowledge, your depth is probably far greater than my depth, because we have a different, we just go about
it. Your reactions are better than mine, so here we go.
Right, but
let's be honest. I think everybody's different.
But we all have that, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And I think, like, we can never tell anyone, hey, this is how you grow. That goes back to the basics of Christianity.
We can't give this the 4 points.
No, but you're right. You brought something really strong here, because you're right. Everybody grows differently, but at the same time, I cannot just maintain going that way and that's it.
Yeah.
And just challenge, like, I'm challenging myself this year, and you know this, to grow my relationships, for example.
Oh, yeah. I've seen
And I'm kind of like, I'm staying
Look
in my
who's
house.
Who's going to Connect Group?
I know, I'm so proud.
Look at who's going to connect, the Connect Church. I can't wait till Wednesday night. It's been a couple weeks.
Not just Wednesday night, y'all. Even Sunday, I'm going to be in the children ministry this Sunday.
Did you know that?
Yes. Come on.
Yes.
No.
Are we breaking news to Kyle about his church?
Breaking news.
Shout out to Lisa because she's persistent and I love her.
She is persistent, by the way.
She goes, so Remy, how about children ministry? I'm like, come on.
She has that really cool Irish accent.
I love that accent.
Can't say no to her. So I'm challenging myself in that aspect because I found myself in my bubble a lot. So I'm very comfortable in my bubble where I sit on my couch or in my bedroom and I'm reading and I'm reading and I'm reading and I'm absorbing a lot of information. But then where am I putting that information out? Because God wants you to always observe, but then always kind of put it out there in the world to kind of saturate other people with your knowledge. And I'm not saying I know a lot, but I learn a lot. And then I go, I don't know what to do with all this now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you brought about a good point because that's my challenge for this year. Yeah. And I have to say, it's only been 2 months and I have made major progress, people. Major progress.
I've been watching.
You've been watching me. So I've made major progress and I have put myself in situations where I'm so completely uncomfortable, but I'm happier that I'm putting myself out there.
Which people would never have expected from you.
Yes.
People don't expect to look at you knowing some of your background, some of your history, having seen you on television and go, oh, well, she's shy.
People think I'm a social butterfly and I am the total opposite. Like I am like here, like everybody's here and I'm like there, like completely there because I'm just uncomfortable in these situations. I'm just leaving me alone, kind of thing. And it's just me.
I think you're making progress. I think in all of us, we have to work in our strengths, but we also then have to make sure that we are being discipled in our weaknesses. And I think that's we love to work on our strengths, right? Because it produces production attached to that.
It makes you happy.
Right. And Rob, one of the things I love that you do, you're just talking about your reaction. You are really good at, self-reflecting in those moments and saying, look, I wish I would have, and now I'm going to adjust some things in my life in order to do that. I think the one thing that we always have to recognize is, and I appreciate the fact what you said about not being hypocritical, because we talk about how that's one of people's greatest,
things against people. We got an episode coming up in the next couple of weeks. We're really going to touch on that.
Which I know that's a big thing, but I would challenge us as individuals, maybe even to take it a little step further. The question isn't how do I respond maybe so that I'm not hypocritical? It's how do I respond so that I can reflect more of who he is? Because then it doesn't become what other people think or even what I think is right. It actually gets back to saying, man, my response reveals inside of me something that is distant from me and him.
That's so good.
Right? There's less of him in that area. And I'm not a horrible person. I'm not a, you know, horrible sinner. It's just I'm a broken person.
Yeah.
And my response shows me that there's less of him in that area in my life. And when we can go back to that, because you and I've talked before about, when we make it just about, I don't want someone else to think or what would someone else do? It's the wrong image, right? Cause
that's so good because not wanting to be a hypocrite shows that you're cognizant of other people's reactions.
Correct.
Right.
And the only one that we should be cognizant of is him, right? Yeah. Jesus, did I respond the way that you would respond?
Exactly.
Yeah. And that way he always becomes my source of that change. So, you know, just a few Sunday nights ago, I did a Sunday night talking about how to have a relationship with God. And, we talked about the Trinity and how we get to have a relationship with each part of that Trinity, which is beautiful because for people who struggle not having a dad, it's intimidating to have, to think of the Father. And, people who grew up maybe more traditional, thinking about the Holy Spirit could seem off-putting at certain things for certain things that they've heard or seen, right? Yeah. I mean, I think that there's
the maturity isn't there yet.
Right. So how do we have that? And, you know, we just did like a little acrostic just because they're fun to do. But, you know, and it was, you know, grow. We did just grow, you know, and it was get in front of God. You know, we just have to always stay in front of God. It doesn't matter where we are, right? We bring him with us in the marketplace. We get in front of God. We risk a real relationship. That means we're vulnerable.
Yeah.
We're vulnerable with people. We're vulnerable with him. We're vulnerable and risking a real life of relationship of faith.
Yeah.
We open up. We open up ourselves to him. We open up the word. We open up to engaging in faith in the world around us. And then we wait for a response. Like, how about listening to the Holy Spirit? How about listening to God? How about being still in this crazy world and knowing he's God.
It's the best thing. And you know, when you were talking about like filling every area in your life, I don't know why. I feel like God just like downloaded something. And I saw this visual with jars of water, like that some are very full and some are not so full and some are completely empty. And I just feel like he wants to fill all your jars, all of them, and to overflow and not just like have very little or a drop here. And one is completely full, one is completely empty. He just wants all your jars full. And every area of our lives have that kind of jar that's like, mine is empty in this section. Absolutely. Mine is empty in relationships. His is empty in this. Yours is empty in that.
Correct.
And, but he wants to fill everything. And it just, it's a beautiful thing. That he wants to do that.
I love that. I love that. Up next, we're going to hear from Akbar Bajabi Amila. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at Karen.edu.
Hey, this is Jerome Bettis, former running back from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University. Rob Motti with Remy and Pastor Kyle. Akbar Bajabi Amila played four seasons in the NFL with the Raiders, Chargers, and Dolphins between 2003 and 2007. He's worked as an analyst. He's co-host of American Ninja Warrior. And last year, he released his first book, Everyone Can Be a Ninja. I spoke with Akbar at the Super Bowl. Here is that interview. I'm joined now on Radio Row by Akbar Bajabi Amila. Did I get that right, man?
You nailed it,
man. I had to practice a little bit while you were over there. You got the smoothie. I'm eyeing that up.
So my former teammate Bill Romanowski and his beautiful wife, Bill got me a protein shake, and his wife made homemade granola, and they're like really like nutritional nuts. They love that.
Yeah,
they love to like stay on point with the macronutrients, and so she saw that. She said, "Oh, baby, you need some." She didn't say it like that. That sounds like a like an old woman, but she was like, you need to get some food or something. So anyway, she hooked me up with some granolas. Well, it was pretty cool. Listen, teammate's still taking care of
me. Listen, when you get done here, man, if you see that you eyed him up, send him on over to me.
Okay.
All right. I would appreciate
Sounds
that.
Sounds good.
Man, how much fun are you having on Ninja Warrior hosting that show? I know some people who do who've been participated in that, and it looks incredible.
It's been an amazing road. 8 years hosting American Ninja Warrior. Mm-hmm. It's now we have a spinoff show. We've had multiple spinoff shows, Team Ninja Warrior, American Ninja Warrior, College Edition, and now we have the American Ninja Warrior Junior for kids. And that debuts February 22nd on Universal Kids. And then we start filming American Ninja Warrior, our staple show. We start filming that in March. So we're back for the 12th season. That's pretty big.
Wow.
It's been an amazing ride. God has been good. I never thought in a million years that my life after football would be so amazing, and you know, being able to do something that I truly, truly enjoy. It's inspired me to write a book called Everyone Can Be a Ninja. I've watched these ninjas in what I call my ninja classroom for 8 years overcome obstacles not only on the course but in their personal life. And that inspired me to write a book about how to overcome personal obstacles in your personal life.
Outstanding, man. Well, you're here on behalf of Experian, and I know it's really important to have good credit.
It really is. You know, when you leave the NFL, for me, transitioning, and you start thinking about, okay, financial security. I've made X amount of dollars. I didn't make a lot of money in comparison to some of the other athletes, but you start thinking about financial security. But even if you didn't play in the NFL, you still think about your financial security. And people talk about investments, they talk about savings money, but no one talks about your credit score, which is a huge component to your overall financial health.
Yeah.
And I've teamed up with Experian promoting the Boost, Experian Boost. And so you go to, this is my guy over here, he's crazy, but you go to Experian.com/BoostAmerica, and this now gives you the ability to now report consumers, the ability to report their everyday non-traditional transactions that they're doing monthly, like your utility bill, your phone bill. All these things now can be reported to Experian to where you get credit for it. It allows you to boost your credit. And how that impacts your overall financial health is now you're looking to buy a home. You're looking to get a car payment, or yeah, you're looking to open up a credit card. If your interest rates are low, excuse me, if your credit score is high, that helps to reduce your interest rate.
Of course.
It happened to me personally. I'm looking to buy a home.
Oh, man.
They're giving me a quote of 4.2 interest rate, and I was able to boost my credit score and be able to get it down to 3.5. That's a huge difference. That's thousands of dollars of savings. If it's your car payment, that's hundreds of dollars of in payments. Credit card.
No doubt.
Interest rate.
Yeah.
If you think about your overall interest rate, if they're charging 26% interest rate, that's huge. But now if you boost your credit score, you are able to get that down to like 9%, just depending on how it's negotiated. And so I'm just trying to bring more awareness to overall the Experian Boost. And Experian Boost really is a tool now for the first time that puts it in the hands of the consumer to have control. Before, it used to be this thing that was in the background that was controlled by who know who. It didn't have a face. It didn't have a destination. Now it has a destination. You can go to Experian.com/Boost America, or you can download the app and you can do everything from the palm of your hand from an app. They say there's an app for that. Well, now there's an app for your credit. There's an app for that.
There's an app for everything. Man, before you get out of here, and I think it's so cool. One, you said God is so good. Two, your assistant Alexi comes over here, and she introduces you to me by saying, he goes to my church. Now, she goes to a different campus of Connect Church in Philadelphia. I go to the Cherry Hill campus. Mm-hmm. Tell me about your faith and how important that is to you.
Well, since we're talking about church, I go to Journey of Faith in Manhattan Beach.
There you go.
But, yeah, my faith is so important to me. It's I think about my mom and the way she raised me, and everything as simple as, hey, every time you tell someone, you greet someone, you tell them, if you tell them, I'm going to see you tomorrow, say by the grace of God, anything you're going to do in the future, it's always by the grace of God. And it's just little things like that that is instilled in me to be able to stay connected and be grateful for all the blessings that God has blessed me with. But I remember when I came to know Christ in college in a true way, because I grew up in a dual religious household. I grew up as a Muslim and Christian household.
Wow.
But it wasn't until I got to college where I really started to come into my own as a man and converted to Christianity. And it's been just an experience, an amazing experience, as I continue to grow in my faith, continue to learn more, and constantly trying to push myself to grow in that area. The more I know, the more I learn. Or the more I learn, the more I know.
Well, that's a powerful journey, man. Akbar, thank you so much.
Appreciate your
time.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
That was Akbar Bajabiamila, Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University, returns after this.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.
This is Emmett Smith. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
And welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. Rob, Remy, and Pastor Kyle. If you missed any of our past episodes, go to faithonthefieldshow.com. You can find every show since we started way back in 2017. There's over 100 episodes, and you can listen anytime at your convenience. We are also on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. We would really appreciate it if you would take a few minutes to subscribe to the Faith on the Field podcast, rate it, and review it. We love hearing from all of our listeners. And personally, I got to tell you, I can't thank you enough for sending so many notes of appreciation for what we do here. It really is very encouraging to read your messages. So thank you. We love to hear from you. We truly appreciate it. Tell your friends, share it out. Thank you so much. If you don't already, you can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram, and follow us on Facebook. We're at Faith on the Field. you can sign up for our weekly email list and get our weekly episode delivered right there to your inbox. Make sure you also follow us on our personal social media. I love connecting with everyone. I'm at Rob Maddi, M-A-A-D-D-I, on all my social platforms except Instagram, where it's at Real Rob Maddi. Remy is at Remy Maddi, and Kyle is at Kyle J. Horner. We'll also let you know about speaking appearances and other events that we've got coming up if you want to come out to see us. Always love meeting people at the various events. I am so blessed to do a ton of work that I love in sports media, and I'm incredibly, just so very passionate, as I'm sure you can tell by this show, about sharing my message of finding victory and finding peace, finding fulfillment in Christ, taking Jesus to my marketplace. I'm so grateful that I've had amazing opportunities on many stages over the past couple years. So many wonderful people have brought me in to be a speaker at their event or to host their event. I've hosted events with Tim Tebow, several with Carson Wentz, with Doug Peterson, Zach Ertz, Jordan Hicks. I've had the opportunity to, the privilege really, to speak to audiences of thousands. And I've had the opportunity to speak to smaller, intimate settings, and of course, continue to minister to inmates in prisons as part of the Deacon's Prison Ministry. My goal at the start of 2020 was to be more available so I can reach even more people. And now that football season, the grind of the football season is over, and I'm refreshed, I'm relaxed from coming back and covering the Super Bowl, I am ready to go. So if you'd like to have me speak at your church, your business, your school, your conference, or any other event, or maybe host your function or event, please contact Hannah at 856-315-1397, or you can send an email, team@robmaddi.com. That's team@robmaddi.com. I want to take a minute to thank all of our awesome sponsors. We are so grateful for the sponsorship. So many great people. Cairn University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Restelli Foods Group, Oliver Heating and Cooling, Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, Rick Santella, the Senior Vice President at Morgan Stanley, Norristown Hospitality Center, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, and California Closets. Joining us now is Pastor Scott Foreman. You hear me mention Scott every week and thank him for all the excellent work that he does on our website, our podcast, and our blog, and everything that you do. Well, I get to thank Scott in person today.
Great to be here.
Scott, welcome. Thank you. We appreciate all that you do for us. And on this episode, we've been talking, Scott, about growth in our faith, becoming mature Christians, how it's important to grow in every area, every aspect of our lives. And for those of us who are married, there is so much growing that we do as couples. I know Remy and I, our relationship isn't the same today as it was a year ago, and it's not the same a year ago as it was 5 years prior. You guys have a Fellowship Bible Church coming up, a marriage boot camp in Fellowship Bible Churches in Sewell, New Jersey, and that is on February 29th. So Remy and I know one version of a marriage boot camp that we'll talk about shortly.
A little extreme.
It's a reality TV version of marriage boot camp. Although that was, there was some foundational principles that they applied because they do an actual, Jim and Elizabeth Carroll do an actual marriage boot camp in Texas, and they brought those principles to the reality TV show, which then Hollywood took over, and you had takes and retakes, and as you had mentioned off the air, underwear scenes and things of that nature that get a little bit. But it only took me 7 times to shoot that one, and I still never broke the glass table.
Was that
the goal you were trying to hit the glass table with the chair?
They wanted the chair to hit the glass table, and it never
smash it.
I don't know. So they finally just sound affected it.
Thing was like high quality from like Italy or something, and it just wouldn't smash. And we're like, fine then.
But here's the thing though. There was growth in our relationship, and while reality TV is what it is, and we've gone on record and said this before, we didn't need marriage boot camp then. It was part of a process, part of being on a show, part of building characters, and part of really just growing our brand and everything else. Our relationship has grown. Mm-hmm. Our relationship has changed over the years. Yeah. And I think that any couple really at certain points in their relationship needs to evaluate, like, where are we? Yeah. How can we grow? How can we develop? And I feel like what you guys are doing over there at Fellowship Bible Church with a marriage boot camp is so essential. So tell everyone about it.
Yeah, so this is our second annual marriage boot camp that we're running here at the church. So last year it was hugely successful. We brought in Dr. Nicholas Allen, who did three great sessions focusing on communication. And we just really sensed in our church this need to not allow stagnancy to become the norm.
Mm.
Not just in your marriage, but in your relationship with the Lord and your parenting.
Yeah.
It's almost like stagnancy is like this unsaid tool of the devil.
Wow, that's really good.
That we can really buy into. And it's just when you look at all these growth passages in Scripture, it's never stay in the same spot. It's never settle for mediocrity. It's always growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And how does that apply to your life? How does it apply to your marriage? So that's what this boot camp is all about. It's interesting when you think about like boot camps.
Yeah.
This is like, it's like this,
drills.
It's hard work. It's intensive.
Yeah.
It's planned. And that's kind of how we structured the boot camp concept for marriages. It's like you come in, it's one shot. It's one night.
One day.
One night.
One night. What time to what time?
So we start right before dinner. So around 4:30 and we're done by 9.
Okay.
And you get three power pack sessions along with dinner. And the speaker just really focuses in on three different areas. So this year we're focusing on, our three sessions are the importance of oneness in marriage, focusing on using the right words in marriage, and unmerited favor in your marriage, which speaks of unconditional grace and love through all the different seasons of life.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, it's really important. So it's almost
really
like,
good.
You know what I was thinking about when I was getting ready to come over here, Robin and Remy, was how in our lives, we always prioritize the things that are important to us.
Yes. Absolutely, 100%.
And if you really want to find out what's important to someone, just look at their calendar. Mm. And whether it's our time with our kids, whether it's in fitness or whatever it might be, what about in your marriage? In what ways do we prioritize our marriage with our time?
Yeah.
And doing something like focusing on your marriage and being intentional about your marriage and being vulnerable about areas of your marriage that need to grow is really what the boot camp's all about.
And it is a $30 ticket?
Correct. $30 per person.
And people can register online, how can they get those tickets?
So they just go to our website, which is aboutfbc.org, and it's pretty front and center there how you can get the tickets. But yeah, we have limited spots.
Okay.
And so if you're going to come, you should probably get your tickets soon. But the $30 gets you the meal and the sessions and the materials. And, you know, when you think about it, $60 per couple, that's still a pretty cheap date.
It's amazing.
It's cheaper than a dinner date.
Right. So it's on February 29, which is Saturday, Saturday evening. Remy and I and the kids that morning, bright and early, are heading to Florida.
Wow.
So you talk about growth in your relationship. When you spend, we'll probably be in a car over the course of 2 days. We'll be in a car for about 30 hours, maybe a little bit longer. And there are good moments. There are bad moments. But over the years, how we've handled
it.
We've done it now. We've done it every year, but 1 year we flew and they were 1.5. But we did it at 6 months. We've done it at 2.5, 3.5, 4.5, 5.5. They're 6.5 now. And, man, I'll tell you, there's some bonding moments.
Absolutely.
We actually love it.
Like, I look forward to it because, you know, we have our stops along the way, but I look forward to how we connect. We're always listening to either worship music or we're listening to various sermons.
Yeah. Right.
And I'll tell you, without those sermons, just listening to them online, that's a difficult drive.
Yeah.
So for us, we prioritize in our relationship the times that we spend together. What are we bringing into our marriage? What are we bringing into our relationship? And of course, we enjoy sitting on a couch occasionally and watching what I call mindless television. Yep. You know, sometimes just having fun watching a movie.
Absolutely.
Right.
But in this day and age, it's more and more difficult to find TV to watch that's suitable for children.
Right.
Yes.
So we try and gravitate towards things that are suitable for the kids. And ultimately, we narrow things down to, like, how is this going to be productive? How are we going to enhance our relationship or help our children? And we use that time in the car for things like that. And I think that's one of those marriage aspects of a marriage where it's instrumental to know, you know, we're spending time together, but what are we doing with that time?
Absolutely.
You know, how are we spending that time?
It's very important to actually work on your marriage, because a lot of couples think it's okay to not work on a marriage. Mm. Like, go through the motions every day, as you were saying, just the stagnant water, just like,
yeah,
just going through the motion, everything, as long as it's calm, we're okay. But the thing is, when you don't understand that, you don't know how to deal with the ups and downs of marriage, that will get you at some point. And I think it's all kind of like a balloon. And you have this pressure building up, building up, building up. And at some point, it's you're one argument away from a divorce. Wow. And a lot of people don't understand that, because we would argue, and we used to argue only via text, because that's the only... No, it's the truth.
This is true.
It's true.
Remy could not communicate back and forth without...
We couldn't do it.
...raising our voice. And then we had children. We're like, well, we're not going to do that.
You know, so...
So
like,
at least we grew in learning that, okay, if we're going to have a disagreement, let's hash it out. But I never want my kids... To see my wife and I having a disagreement. And I think that's an important
teaching
point for any family out there. Like, if your children see you, and as a dad of two daughters, you know, how I love their mom is going to impact how they seek a husband, who they see. Yeah. So I've learned that I never want them to see me arguing with Remy. But we're going to have disagreements. We're not perfect couples.
We argue all the time. It's normal. I think it's normal.
We handled it through text for a long period of time. Yeah. Now that the kids are in school, we can have conversations away from them. Yeah. We can do things like that. But the key point is communication.
Communication is great. We talk. We definitely talk. But sometimes, like, I learn to kind of pick my words, because I used to just have no filter whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I used to be like, let's go, like a train wreck happening,
right.
You know? And now it's been a couple years now, more than a couple years now, where we're like, we really know how to communicate correctly, where the words I'm saying are not, I'm not trying to hurt you, I'm trying to fix what's happening. Yeah. And you have to do that in marriage.
You guys have probably seen that classic relational illustration of the triangle.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you've got Christ at the top and you've got your spouse on either side.
Right.
And as you think about how you're growing closer to each other, mm-hmm. you're growing closer to Christ at the same time.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All the layers of growth that just happens in that process.
Yeah.
A couple that is growing closer in their relationship with God is going to grow closer to each other.
100%.
And that's, and that's layers and layers of selfishness, the flesh, my agenda, my life, that just has to be taken away, just dismantled. Yeah. And that's when you see some real growth take place.
Yeah, God always peeling those layers and always just trying to bring your attention to what's wrong within your heart and clearing that out. And once you start the process of cleansing, and God is just working on you every single day, and he's working on my husband every single day, so... Whatever comes out from an argument is not hurting anymore. It's not. It's just growing. We're just growing in this relationship. And we've been doing pretty well. Actually, a couple days ago, I don't know what was happening. And then we were texting back and forth or doing
usually,
something.
See, a lot of times it's kids related, right? When you're a couple with young children, sometimes there's issues with children that will, you know, they're not listening, and how you parent, how you want to parent, you have to be aligned.
You have to be on the same page.
You can never allow your children. We cannot allow our children to divide us, and we can't allow the way I want to parent and the way Remy wants to parent to be different. But I want to touch on something, because Scott, you brought up an excellent point, and it is the foundation of our relationship and our marriage. And we did an episode, I think it was with Kirk Cousins, the Minnesota Vikings quarterback, a while back on this. It's building your relationship is on a foundation of Christ. Yeah. And when our relationship is built on a foundation of Christ, and we understand that our identity is in Christ and our relationship is through him, as you said, as you're becoming closer and closer in the Lord, and you're growing closer and closer to him, our relationship has grown. And that's where Remy and I have seen tremendous growth in our relationship. Because I'd say maybe about 2 or 3 years ago, for you, there you took that next step in your maturation as a Christian, and the Holy Spirit began to do a work in you that I was it was just so apparent and obvious to me. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that, as I was growing, maybe on a parallel level, mm-hmm. and it became to me such a beautiful thing to watch, mm-hmm. but our relationship, we clicked in a different way. And now we understand that whatever issues we may have, we have to go back to what does the Bible tell us? What is our foundation in? Is it in worldly stuff? Is it in wanting to be famous, popular? Is it in wanting to gain material wealth? Or is our foundation based upon our relationship with the Lord? And we base all our decisions on that. And I think in a healthy marriage, if your marriage isn't based upon a foundation of Christ, we're going to go off the rails a little bit at times, and then that road gets rocky.
Well, you know what's amazing, and you see this, I've seen this in my own marriage, my own mm-hmm. family, but also a lot in pastoral ministry. Mm-hmm. You know, these idols
yeah.
that we can have in our marriages yeah. that are good things, but it's not Christ. Yeah. So it's my kids
yeah.
and their schedule. It's my hobbies and their fulfillment.
Wow.
And one day, some of those things are gone, mm-hmm. and what do you have left?
Yeah.
You still have your spouse.
Yeah.
One day, my kids are going to be gone. Mm-hmm. The schedule's going to be gone. The craziness is going to be gone. And it's going to be Rachel and I.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what will our relationship be at that point? That's what we should be growing towards.
That's such a good point.
God has not called me to be married to my kids, even though mm-hmm. I got to invest in my kids.
Yes.
He's called me to be married to my wife.
Right.
And build our relationship together. Yeah. That's so important. We're one flesh,
yeah.
the scripture says. Not my kids and I, not my schedule, not my hobbies, my wife.
Yeah.
She's got to be the utmost priority in my life.
I think I see a lot of parents who are caught up in the busyness of their lives with their children. When they grow up or when they become what you call empty nesters, right? A lot of times there are relationships that fall apart because there was no connection.
Absolutely.
Now you do an excellent job with your blog, Ministry Dad. Mm-hmm. Tell everybody about that because there are so many good principles
yes.
that are teaching points that I see in there, that I try and apply. And I'm like, wow, this is really powerful.
Well, you know what happens, Rob, and we've talked about this before, yeah. but you know, when something pops up in my marriage, or in my parenting, I'm like, oh man,
all right, about
I gotta work on this, and maybe someone else will get some help
yes.
from this.
Yes,
it's yeah. it's almost always something that God's working in my life,
right?
Where I'm just like, hey, maybe this could help someone else too. So yeah, yeah that's theministrydad.com.
Ministrydad.com. Really well, good. Any final words on the marriage boot camp? Anything you want everybody to out there to hear about?
You know, we've got a great speaker. He's a pastor and a blogger. His name's Ron Edmondson. He's got a huge following. He's one of the most followed bloggers, Christian bloggers in America.
Wow. Okay. Where's he from?
So he's in the Tennessee area right okay. now, but he's got 70,000 people that are on his daily blog.
How about that?
He's going to come speak. We've got limited spots, so yeah. we can't take hundreds and hundreds of people.
Okay.
So if you want to jump in on the Marriage Bootcamp, go to aboutfbc.org and you can sign up right there.
Awesome.
Well, that is Pastor Scott Foreman. Thank you. See, I get to thank you today in person. Appreciate all the work you do. Thank you so much for that, Pastor Scott Foreman. Big thanks to Doug Horton for handling the business side. Thanks to all our listeners, our followers, our guests. We appreciate you. Jim Henderson, thank you for the work behind the scenes. Thanks to our producer, Ryan. Thank you to 610 ESPN, Philly 107.5 Alive, and Joy FM Sports for airing Faith on a Field, presented by Cairn University. For Remy, Kyle, and Pastor Scott, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.